good. Okay. Oh, of course, now that I have it turned on, I can't remember what I was wanting to say. It's 4:30 in the morning. It's Thursday, so full work day, but making my way home. Which puts everything in its context. I got a I've got to be careful. I got an unsolicited phone call from a recruiter at Sandia. Another job. Another department. Basically doing support for cybersecurity. I'm not a fan of cybersecurity, but I keep getting sucked into it because it becomes such a thing. Don't know how exactly well I did in our first little chat, but anyway. You know, if it comes, we'll pursue it. We'll see what happens. The manager was saying that he might get into some trouble stealing talent from another person. So, you know, and he said, but that's more my problem than yours. You know, it won't affect you so much. Anyway, but it brings up the whole idea, because I've had this coming back to me again. One has to remember that our work is not supposed to define us. Although it's important to work. All in comes. Sorry, I'm looking at all the stuff I have out here. Work is necessary. I mean, God told Adam this. Now, I remember this from the Temple of Delvin helps me remember this a lot, but it also helps me see that isn't the scriptures too. It's not like it's something I should be talking about. Anyway. You know, by the sweat of Adam's face, will he eat bread all the days of his life, you know? One has to keep working that perspective. declaring it as your identity. I think that's where we can get into trouble. There's also scriptures about you can't serve God and mammon. So, I had the opportunity to take a corn tortilla, so I'm eating a corn tortilla. Because I'm cheap. Work opportunities. You always have to remind yourself that this isn't about status and prestige and things like that. But you also can't just sit there and say, well, you know, I should be happy with what I'm doing now. If there's an opportunity to better use skill and experience and things like that you have, you know, don't discount that. Which means, do you go after opportunities? And the answer is probably yes. But you remember those stories that get told occasionally of, the Polynesian families that lived far across the sea from the temple in Laie, Hawaii. And they would sell everything they had. Of course, they would quit whatever job they had, too. And go take the opportunity to be sealed to their family. And then, of course, many of them wouldn't even have the resources to get back home. And would just go on with their lives if it was in Hawaii or if they were, since they were already that far from home. Already in the United States, why not go ahead and go to America? There's a large Tongan contingent in California and Utah. And I think some of them got there through pretty much that particular mechanism. Already gone to do something else somehow, somewhere else. Now, that's not necessary anymore. there are temples scattered throughout Polynesia now. And one doesn't have to go to Hawaii and to America to get one's get ordinances and promises and blessings as they did in the past. But I think it puts a good light on where your occupation stands in there. One has to have more faith in the Lord that good things will come to us as we follow the Spirit, as we grow and progress and learn. And that's, you know, and they say, well, there's the career, boy, you gotta get the career. I remember, and I think I bring it up quite often, I'd either read or listened to, I imagine I read it, an old talk, and I can't find it anymore. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know where it went. It was one of the apostles speaking against careerism. Because so much, and it's not saying that the Lord can't bless you as you pursue a career, but it can too easily become the mammon that keeps you from serving God. The old, who was it? Hugh B. Brown was in the military, the Canadian military, which at the time was probably a branch of or at least heavily associated with the British military. It doesn't matter. He it was about time for him to become a general, a bigwig. And he had, you know, he had put in his dues, he had worked hard. And, you know, it had come back to him that he wasn't going to get the promotion because he was a Latter-day Saint, he was a Mormon. And he was very unhappy about this, that the church was getting in the way of his career. But, ultimately, he became a member of the First Presidency, and then I think an apostle. Back in those days, apostles, you didn't have to be an apostle to be in the First Presidency. Anyway, and he said that he learned from this whole experience that. That the Lord's going to take care of you if you're doing the right things, if you're putting yourself in His path. I found it so much true for me. Although I've ended up kind of doing the same thing, because to be honest, it's almost been circumstantial. Money. Better amounts of money were tied to doing technology work than there was to whatever else I had studied at some point, you know, child development, how to run daycare centers, home economics. Although there's always been the chance to do home economics, this very last time I had a chance to, a good friend of mine who had been the extension agent for, 30 years, she finally decided to retire, and excellent at it, and the opportunity came up, and of course, there isn't just 1,000 people who pursue and take extension jobs. So let me finish this. So I said, you know what? I said I'm getting kind of tired of what I'm doing here, and got the plan that I was going to move on and maybe take this job. But when it came back, that the pay was really, it was kind of low. Comparatively, it was a good paying job for somebody just right out of school, which was what was being offered. And I would have taken it as if, well, he's this guy right out of school. You know, even though I was older and I had tons of experience in the workforce, from their standpoint, it was like he's just like any other graduate. In fact, the problem is he would really need to kind of get a lot more, it would be a struggle. I really had not been in the field of these things for very long at all. Anyway, so, they said, this is probably how much you're going to make. And I said, I wouldn't even think about it for less than, a certain amount of money. I think it was $70,000. And they laughed and they said, I don't make $70,000. And you go, oh. And it was like, well, I can do better than that. And of course I do. So that's neither here nor there. Anyway. Okay, I'm going to pause this, and we're going to come back to this here. All right, are we going again? We are going again. All right. I don't know what happens during those red periods in the recording when I paused it, but 5 o'clock. And again, up to 5:30. I'm not going to make it there by 5:30. Still a while to it. But anyway, we were thinking about where God fits into all this. And of course, I've said, and I'll probably say it on and on again because I'm always using this. There was a talk by it was probably Elder Scott. It was either Elder Scott or Elder Hales. They're apostles of the past. And it's been pretty much said in probably different words later, and I'm sure I paraphrase it pretty hard. Pardon me. And my interpretation is that, well, the main gist of it is, just proceed. Too many people spend their time waiting for clear signs from above and wait until they get it before they act. And this is not a good thing. This is proceed. Proceed with whatever is good to do. And use your own judgment. Go forward. Move forward. And if you're going in the wrong direction, or if it isn't the right thing to do, the Lord will stop you. Now, I found it interesting. I used to run a little radio station at home off of just a little FM transmitter. And And it was mostly for my internal use. Well, I would wake up in the morning, we'd hear the news from the BBC, and then when that was over, it was kind of time to get up, and it would switch over to some podcast of something, you know, the morning news from somebody else, and then it would go to, oh, I don't remember, No Agenda podcast, or other things, or it would do conference talks for a few hours. And of course, most of the day I wasn't even there, and I don't know if Lisa really even listened to it. I don't think she ever really did, and that's why it kind of died out. But the really interesting thing was, and it was set up so that you would actually wake up to General Conference on Sunday. And it was just random, you know, each talk was chopped, was its own file, its own audio file. And it would be randomized what you would get. And I noticed that there started to be certain themes. And I know some people would say, oh, you're just, you know, you're just being silly. You're seeing patterns that aren't there. Kind of like A Beautiful Mind, I guess. And, but nevertheless, they weren't. I would talk about it sometimes. I'd say, you know what? If there's some way you can introduce randomness into your life, that gives the Lord an end. A way to affect what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're thinking about in ways that he wants to do, and how powerful that can be. At least I was noticing it in this particular situation. Like I said, I don't have that radio station anymore. I don't have randomness. I don't have a random generator when it comes to, you know, conference talks and stuff like that at this point. Of course, anybody who has an MP3 player, why I kind of like the old-fashioned MP3 players. I think all of them still work like this, although many people don't have them anymore and they got their phones. But I think the one on your phone will work this way too. You know, you get your library and you turn these things on and it lets the Lord have an influence over these things. So, when I think about these jobs, and do I go after jobs often? And you go, yes, I do. I've never said if that's good or not. I don't know. But whenever I, besides time to job hop, I pray a lot that a good job, if it'll bless my family, it'll be a good idea, because I really can't tell very often very hard to know if a job's good or not, because you know, there's only so much you can get out of interviews, there's only so much you can get out of resumes, there's only so much you can get out of job announcements. You can't really know much about the people you'll be working for. You know, you go and to be honest, I put it on faith. And the other part of that prayer that one prays is not just that if it's going to be good for you and good for your family, that you'll have help in getting into such a position. But if it's not good, don't let it happen. And I take great comfort in the fact that, especially in the way of job interviews and stuff like that, there's 1,000 different things that can affect it for good or ill to make it so that you can get it or not get it. A lot of people look at that and they make them really worried and they get really frantic about it. It's like, don't get like that. Don't get like that. Because if you're praying in this way, you're really inviting God to get involved in the process, and he can make some really amazing things happen. I don't think I've often broached the question of, so why exactly did you pick me over other people? Usually in the technology field in eastern New Mexico where I live, it's simply that I was really just the best of the batch, which is, personally, I don't know if that's good or bad, because frankly, it's a pretty small talent pool. But it certainly gives the Lord lots of latitude either to say, no, I don't want you to have that. I don't think that's a good job for you. And so, you know, it doesn't take much effort at all on his part to make sure that I don't get hired. Something stupid I said, I hang horribly. Well, I'm going through interview processes, and I've noticed this lately. And it's not just on interviews, it's just in general. But I haven't noticed this on the recordings that I do so much. I really hang on certain words, it's almost like I can't get the words out, and I sound like an absolute dolt. And I think that's what's killed me more from getting into management, which is probably, well, the management I have gotten into. I don't feel very, I didn't feel terribly good about any of it. So, anyway. So, you let the Lord into your life, and you don't get too weird. You know, I think it's a faithful move, I think it's a hopeful move to do these things, to say, Heavenly Father, please be a strong influence in employment and what happens. I'm not actively seeking for other jobs. I just barely started the one I've started now. I'm not unhappy with it. The pay's good. Now, this other thing that's just kind of popped up, I wouldn't mind getting it. I think it'll pay a little bit more than what I make now. So that's, which isn't bad. I'm not unhappy at all with the amount of money I had, given the fact that I'm coming off a CIO job. When they were going to start cutting my pay anyway, it wasn't, it's just fine. It's right there at the same hunt is what they were cutting my pay to. It's like, okay. And it made me think again about the Army had done, had noticed that there was a problem. Almost immediately when somebody proved to be pretty good at something, they would almost immediately start putting you into management. And they noticed that the problem was that they weren't able to retain skill very much because people would wash out of the military for just being put into management positions quickly. And people didn't like management, would just get out of the military, go do something else. It wasn't so much of a career thing. And so they had two tracks. There was now that, and I think it's still that way. You could take one of the two tracks. One of them was management, which was, when you were a private, they would, you would either become a corporal, and that was, leading a team of privates, or you'd become a specialist, which meant that you weren't in management, but you were certainly getting trained up to be really good at something. It was when they found out that all the jobs in the military wasn't just a bunch of grunt work, and that there was a skill set to be developed outside of being a boss over a group of people. It was always the way the Army kind of worked, that they needed more basically specialists. So that was that thing, and I found myself going more in that route. The difference between leadership and management I've had my chance. I did a little bit of management for 6 months. Oh my gosh, that's not very long now. I think I comported myself okay. I don't think ultimately I was very well liked by other people. I think a lot of my ideas, they're saying, oh well, it's really not going to do much. And you go, it's not really about the money so much as it's about people getting skin in the game. And it has a political aspect to it. Or a booster support aspect to it. I don't think anything ever came of it. Which is sad. I think it really would have come. Although, I wasn't so much trying to be a great supporter of the supporter of the organization themselves, Base Alliance in this case. But about the concept of having higher education in Tewkesbury, in Clay County. Northeast New Mexico. That's where I think really had the problem. Like, there's nobody like the deficit I use, which I don't care. The method that was put in place to make these things happen was going to ensure that nothing happened that way. Back into, well, can I be honest? I'm not really starting over again. I think that's kind of the picture everybody has. You know, it'll be years until I'm really good at what I've been doing independently in other places for years. I think Sandia has kind of a "you don't know what you're doing" kind of a thing. I don't know if I really buoy up some resentment. My current place. Because I have something to say, I have something to offer. Anyway. So, yeah. Today I'm going to make another little poke at that other opportunity. Puts me. And nothing may come of it. Like I said, where I am now, maybe a little humbling. That's okay. It certainly isn't humbling money-wise, and isn't that what work is really there for? Trade your time and your, or whatever skill set you have, for money, for other needs. You know, by the sweat I face, thou shalt eat thy bread, eat bread all the days of thy life. That's it. Going, that is heart is what work, a career, all those things are to accomplish. Don't get weird about trying to make it more than that. It'll start causing troubles. That's one thing, you really don't need a lot of trouble. Thing is really starting soon, but your pride can get wrapped up in that. And it can lead you away from the Lord. Don't let it happen. My word for the day. Well, so as we get off the interstate here, I'll start figuring out how to turn off this. That guy's been tailgating this whole time. He's hanging on my butt. As soon as I got behind him, he decided it's time, now time to speed up. Typical human. Too much, end up probably getting back to that lady again. I don't know why I changed lanes. Mostly to get this guy away from me. I don't tend to drive as fast as other people do. What I catch myself doing is mostly to get out of a snarled situation. Active participant in what's happening to you. Oh, this looks good. Okay. I'm not unhappy with this. I missed my exit yesterday. Lost some time backtracking. 5:27 now. The gate's supposed to open at 5:30. This will give some time for this to kind of get itself pulled together. 5:30 is kind of the time. This is military stuff, so captured by this guy. I like a lot of space around me. I don't know if it's karma, but it seems like that when I'm like on interstate highways, I usually have a pretty good buffer around me. Anyway, okay. I think we're done. So I'm going to go ahead. Whoops. Well, I got the thing.